This episode is sponsored by Arius. With nearly 100 locations and operating more than 75 local, national, and proprietary brands, Arius is bringing their signature dining experience to major North American airports such as Los Angeles, Detroit, Atlanta, Miami, Chicago, and now their newest locations in Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. For more information on how to bring their signature experience to your airport and to your travelers, visit ariususa.com.
Before we get started, I'd like to tell you about the Airport Experience EDU. These are a set of educational webinars aimed at providing an introductory and elementary look at operating food and retail in airports. Every year, more brands and companies are attending and exhibiting at the Airport Experience Conference, and they have little to no knowledge of the airport space, other than knowing that it's kind of where they want to be. And so every year in our show agenda, we feature a series of introductory sessions aimed at filling this knowledge gap. Well, now you can experience these educational sessions year-round, online, and at your leisure. We tackle various topics such as design, menu, statistics, localizing, and more with the help of seasoned industry experts. Check these webinars out. Go to airportxedu.com to find out more. And now the pod. This is episode 5 of the Airport Experience News Podcast. I'm Ramon Lowe, the publisher of Airport Experience News. I'll say it over and over again. Thanks again for listening. And as always, you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. Just search for Airport Experience News and click on follow or subscribe. And of course, if you like what you're listening to here on this podcast, please leave a review or comment. In this episode, I chat with Joya Kaiser-Clark, the president and CEO of Casa Unlimited Enterprises. Once again, in the month of November, we're featuring small businesses in the airport industry, and we're spotlighting their stories. So here is my conversation with Joya Kaiser-Clark. I'm here with Joya Kaiser-Clark, the president and CEO of Casa Unlimited Enterprises, an ACDBE-certified Phoenix, Arizona-based operator. Joya, thanks for taking the time to chat with me.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So I've been interviewing various airport small businesses because November is Small Business Month. And obviously there are many common threads shared between small businesses. And yet I chose certain companies because of the different perspectives they bring or the situations they had risen from. You and I have known each other for a long time. And I feel that this may be a very typical story of a handoff from one generation to the next, but you've experienced expansion and contraction and expansion again of a business of your size and all the other roller coaster ups and downs that come with a small business and how you guys navigate it. So anyway, before we get all into that, I just want to, touch on a little bit of background on Casa Unlimited Enterprises. And so tell me a little bit about the history of the company, its founding, and your entry into airports.
Thank you. So we started in 1989. My mother, Yolanda Kaiser, started as a joint venture partner when the ACDBE program was implemented here in Phoenix. And that partnership was where I came in the late 90s. It was Host Marriott at that time. So we're on the retail side. So she had a small specialty bookstore here in Phoenix. And qualified as a partner for airport retail. And that began her journey into airport concessions. And she had a great relationship with those partners at the time. She had a very active management role. And from my understanding of the intent of the ACDBE program at the time, really followed that original intent. So she gained experience and access to capital, and was from that experience able to start bidding as her own prime. And in 1997, she won her first store, which was a specialty children's store. And that began the second kind of strand of our operations in airports, which was our own prime owning and operating units. While we still maintained several joint venture partnerships as well. So that's kind of the start.
No, that's great. That's great. And you kind of came from, I saw your history. You worked within the store and the family and such. We had spoken, you actually have a degree, not exactly that translates into this industry, right? I think theology, because I did a story on this a while back. But was the plan always for you to come back to the business?
No, certainly I would not have chose zoology if I thought I was going to work at the airport. But at the time, my mom said, what do you think about a degree in business? And I was like, oh, that sounds painful. So certainly genetics and organic chemistry sounded a lot better at the time. So and that's actually how I came to the airport, is I was finishing up school and the grant I was working on was wrapping up, and I had a couple months before graduation. And they had just had, my mom's partner, Host Marriott, had just had a acquisition of another small business here in town, and had grown the number of units. And she said, hey, what do you think about just coming in and helping with some data entry and that kind of stuff? And that was the beginning of the end for me. I think what I really appreciate about the airport environment is it's just so dynamic. So I'm sure we have a pretty strong ADD strand in our genetic line, and it really is enough to keep us stimulated and interested, and allows us to use our creative minds and our logical brain and all those aspects, our relational component with our team and our airport and our community. So it really fulfills a lot of what drives us as a family and as a business. So we this is home for us. This is what we do and what we love.
Excellent. So I guess of all the folks that I've been interviewing or will be interviewing just about the month of November, a lot of them are family-owned businesses. You know, so over the years, they have then, their offspring have come in and taken, front-facing positions or more prominent positions within the company. So like anything, you probably experienced the same, I guess it's a fresh perspective to kind of take it to the next level. So like anything, we need to change with the times. And I'm sure the industry looks nothing like from when your mom headed the business. So before we get into how you've evolved the business itself, how are you handling some of the industry trends? Consolidation is the big thing. You know, there's been plenty on the retail side, and you guys were personally affected with the sale of World Duty Free Group many years back. You know, so how do you see that affecting you, and what are you doing about it?
I think one of the good things about growing up in the business is you kind of have a perspective as an industry historian at some point. And so when I came into this about 20 years ago now, it was at a time where there was a lot of the master concessionaire style, and RFPs were written for a master concessionaire that sublet to different either smaller businesses or franchises, things like this. So we've seen where that kind of changed, and the ACDBEs started to grow in prominence and be able to start acting as their own primes in larger capacities, several of them growing out of the program, and then back through this last round of consolidation. And so it's really interesting to see that perspective, how the industry changes, how the airports change, and the cities change and their interest and wants of concessionaires, and how operators change to meet those needs, and what the different roles that the big prime operators, the small prime operators all bring to the table and offer. And so for us, and I guess part of that generational change, what keeps me interested is, yes, my mom started the business. We had a succession plan. She medically retired kind of abruptly in 2012. So my father and I owned the business, and I was very fortunate that we already had that succession plan in place, and a lot of the groundwork was done. But that was really an abrupt change. It happened very quickly, and so we happened to be going into bids at that time. And so there was a little disruption and a little leadership style change all within that. And we did lose our first round of bids coming into, this last round of bids for Phoenix. There's a lot of learning and stabilization that came from that. And really understanding that really allowed us to refocus on who we are and what we do best and what we want to provide and to whom, and what our role is in this industry. So I think as small prime operators, what we really do best is we're relationship people. So I use the metaphor of this beautiful silvery spider web when I talk to my team, and maybe that goes back to my entomology days. But I really see our role as business, a small business in a community, as having equal importance to, yes, our customers, but also our team members, all of the branches of our team members. But equally important is our landlords, the airport that runs the city that runs the airport, or Port Authority that runs the airport, and what their goals are and what they're trying to accomplish and how we partner with them to achieve that. The city as a whole, most of the RFPs, if you've been to any RFP pre-proposal meetings, they're very concerned about that the airport's the gateway to often the front door that people come into when they're entering a city for the first time. So what impression do we collectively give as a whole, and how do we help achieve those goals for the city? And as our community, we're community members. And so how do we support our fellow small businesses, artisan vendors, those people that help us be successful with product selection, with margin, with fulfillment, and sourcing. And so I see all those as equally important strands of this spider web that are intricately laced together. And we sit right in the middle. So our position as a small business in this industry and in communities really is to fulfill a lot of things for a lot of different groups. And we're in a unique position where we can do that very well.
Got it. I mean, it's true. You have a lot of local expertise there within the area that you can call upon. Do you feel that there is a bit of a lid if you wanted to grow beyond where you're planted? Or do you think the landscape is such for small businesses that it's ripe for someone such as yourself or anyone else to kind of grow beyond?
I think that we're really in a transitional time right now. So I think that's somewhat unknown. And I think a lot of that comes from how RFPs are written. Again, what the airport authorities and the cities want to see in their airports and in their communities. I think that the operators that operate in this small space, both on the food and retail side, are really experts in their field because, like you mentioned before, we are multi-generational, most of us. And so we've really come in to a huge amount of time committed to understanding this environment and the pros and cons of national brands versus local brands versus proprietary brands, understanding the micro climate of each store location, if it's pre-security, post-security, what carrier it is, what the demographics of the passengers are on those flights, and what flights specific are out of the gates next to you. Are they long-haul carriers? Are they short flights, regional flights, and the needs of those specific clienteles and the ability to adjust and maneuver within those. So I think there's a lot of strength, and I think maybe we have to tell our story a little bit better so that people understand we're there, because we're not only strong as operators, but quite frankly, we're kind of a triple threat, because as joint venture partners, we understand the federal regulations and interest of the FAA in what these partnerships structure look like, how different airports do their compliance regulation and how to fulfill that, how to be good joint venture partners to our prime partners. What are our roles and responsibilities? What are our contributions? How do we fulfill that and maintain that to strengthen our joint business together? And as sublets, a lot of us have our own relationships with proprietary brands or national brands or local brands that we can bring into an RFP and, strengthen a package with other bidders. So I think it's we have a lot of strength. Maybe we need to tell that story a little bit more.
it's kind of similar to what I was going to kind of follow up with, perception that small isn't capable. Well, you're good for where you are, but can that can that translate into another market? I mean, do you see or feel that perception in some ways? Even though you have a long history in proving that you are capable.
Right. Thank you. I think historically, the message was, and maybe I think it was from both sides, that the idea was it was safer for the smaller companies to have the smaller concepts. In my experience, those are often more challenging and take a lot more, no, I wouldn't say a lot more, but take a different type of expertise to navigate through a lower employment and still be successful, lower spend per passenger rate with the specialty stores versus something like a newsstand or coffee or something like that. So I think for me, we really can't afford, and as a small business, there's really no cushion. So it comes down to really, we can't afford to not be successful. So we really have to be efficient, well organized, and all those business practices that come in with being able to perform. It's really less of an option for the small guys, I think. So the capability is certainly there. I don't have any doubt about that.
So do you feel that perhaps the category that you're in, retail, might make that even more difficult? You know, I know newsstands and travel essentials do really well, and that's the big attraction, and there's still specialty, which is difficult. But do you think that also kind of adds a level of complexity versus if you were on the food side?
I think it's kind of two parts, right? And that's how our growth plan has been developed for us is, what do we do well? We know airports. We know the logistics of operating in airports. And quite frankly, our experience with newsstands really bleeds over to some of the food concepts. So I've seen more and more newsstands being categorized as convenience store concepts, and more the food grab and go is coming out of food and into the retail side. But what we've done to grow our strength as CASA is to start joint venturing in areas that provide us new experiences. We've been very fortunate over the last few years to grow in the spa with the spa partner and to gain that experience in spa and service categories, to grow into the electronics with a great partner. And actually, we've won, we've been awarded last year with a new retail joint venture partner and a new food and beverage partner. Okay. So very excited about how we can start moving into those categories. But to bring that experience as part of our growth strategy. But it is a little bit challenging, I'd say, to the idea of differentiating the strength of local / how we use the terms, I think, local, small business, ACDBE operator. Sometimes they mean the same thing. Sometimes they mean very different things, and we're categorized very differently. And so you can only be local one place, but that doesn't mean you're not a viable operator and have the same strengths for all three reasons as a joint venture partner, a sublet, or an operator in other regions. And I think that's kind of, the water's a little bit muddy there. It's hard for people to kind of see that clearly for smaller operators as to what role they can play.
Sure. And one of the other things that I find, I'm finding to be very, very interesting, this isn't earth shattering or anything like that, as I speak to more and more small businesses here on this pod, is that how sensitive you are to changes within the market or to other external, forces outside. You know, as a small business partner, you probably feel it more than maybe some of the larger operators, maybe the larger operators feel it as well, but they are maybe better positioned to experience it, at least at a minimal level. So, I mean, again, not to make this political or anything, but let's just take like an issue like the tariffs on Chinese goods. You know, how does something like this affect a company as of the size of CASA, and what are you doing to kind of like, head that off?
We love to work with big brands and small brands. And so when we see, we usually see it first with our smaller vendors because they, you know, again, are really acute to those, everything from a few cents to several dollars. When they start rolling in, they're the first ones to start sounding the alarm that the change is coming. The position it puts us in, I think, would be generally the same as everyone else, every other operator, is it affects cost. And then it affects the customer experience because if prices change, I think as a business, we have to start making very quick decisions on do these products, if it's been a successful seller, does it start to decrease value to the customer as the price increases? Do we have to find another source for that? Or how do we help our small businesses, business partners comply or overcome some of these challenges? Do we rework some of the product? Do we help them source from somewhere else? But I think what I enjoy right now, and as I've seen the big push the last few years, not push, the trend in the industry to do big national brands and national concepts as stores, to me, I always found that to be somewhat limiting. And what I've really enjoyed with some of our new concepts is a boutique style where we can offer national brands within that. So the customer comes in, they immediately recognize a brand and have that same experience of understanding value and quality and use of that product. But we can also tailor very regionally and adjust price point options for our customers by offering a mid-size supplier and then local regional suppliers. So that allows us to navigate through some of those issues like tariffs that are uncontrollable for us. If we're committed to a single vendor or a single source, that's that creates a lot more challenge and a lot more issues for us with our supply chain and our margin issues versus having some of this flexibility where we can adjust vendors or quantities and navigate through it that way and still provide the customer, the end user, our customer with options that still feel like a complete concept for them. Mm-hmm.
So do you feel that, I mean, for even not just that example of an external force impacting the business, but like, do you feel that eventually it does, I mean, will impact the customer experience and then that onto your employees, et cetera?
The tariff specifically?
Not anything.
Or I mean, just external?
External. Any external forces. I mean, like you said, it does affect you, but I mean, after a while, maybe the industry as a whole, it's probably something that we should all look at to see how, at some point, how does this model, whether it's small business, large business, whatever, and we'll just keep it for small business since that's the conversation we're having here, you know, how do we, I guess, kind of help that in check so that the small business such as yourself continue to provide best-in-class service, best-in-class, you know, products, engaged employees, et cetera?
Well, I think my answer is kind of twofold, that I think that's part of business, the excitement and the challenge of being in business. I think that's what business is, the opportunity to overcome challenge, really. And so there's ways where you're not in control of it at all and that you have to find ways to troubleshoot and overcome those. And then there's ways that you can directly be involved. And some of that is how I referenced our participation with community is also largely government. So how do you know the regulations from everywhere from city, state, and federal around the ones that affect your business and your environment? How much do you participate in community, small and large? And, you know, how much influence do you have in that because of your participation? So the tariffs are inconvenient for sure. They're very scary for small businesses. But there's ways to conduct yourself in business around that. And just like we're influenced by mergers and airlines, we're influenced by flight plan regulations. There's a lot of talk the last several years about ACDBE regulations and what that program's going to look like in the future. So those are really big picture things that we can't control. But there is certainly ways to participate in those conversations.
Excellent. So I just got a couple more questions. And one, I just want to, I interviewed Kenneth James, president of Latrell's Management Corporation, and I asked him, I'm going to ask you now. So how do you see the industry landscape now and, of course, in the future for small businesses? And how does CASA fit into that?
I think our diversity makes us very viable to be in this business for a very long time. I think the options of participating in a lot of different ways, again, the joint venture structure, the sublet, the operator, makes us very relevant, continues to keep us relevant in the industry. I think that it's our responsibility to tell our story, and that is to partners, that is to airport aviation departments, and that is on the federal level. And, you know, our participation in those areas, as well as our business participation, is what's going to either keep that option for us in this industry or dissolve it, I think. So it comes to our responsibility to participate in that. I think that the consolidations versus us, there's a huge gap right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's largely unknown what that's going to look like. And so it will be filled. Who's going to fill it?
That's true. And it's not like this is a business where people just say, oh, I want to get in the airports and just jump in. I mean, you guys pretty much have, you know, a pretty big lead on anyone who might just want to come off the street and try to throw their hat into the ring, correct?
I would say yes. It's a little more challenging than that to come from the street side. I think sometimes you're almost at a disadvantage coming off the street, because typical business practices that work there, able to control your hours of operation and your, here in Phoenix, we're street price compliant. We market best, so that limits your price per item and or margin. Those are typically your best routes to control expense and raise revenue, and those are a little bit tied here. So that is definitely a learning curve. But yeah, I would say that we come in with a lot more very specific industry knowledge than most small businesses.
Perfect. My last question, it's a feel-good question. So I think you'll enjoy this. So again, this was a business started by your mom, dad, et cetera. And you have come on over the years and, again, taken a more active role. But there's always something that you learn from them, maybe the way they carry themselves, or maybe some piece of advice, et cetera. So what is one thing, or maybe a couple things, that maybe you've learned from your mom to kind of just say, okay, I'm going to definitely stick to that and carry through so we can maintain the soul of what CASA Unlimited Enterprises is?
Thank you for that question. Oh, you were going to make me emotional, maybe. Okay, let me breathe.
No. Don't worry.
Go ahead and talk about my mama. All right, hold on. I think really it's in one word, it would be our integrity. And so I think that we're very fortunate in my company that we have really, really low turnover and really, really strong relationships. It's that relationship thing again, right? So with our vendors and our landlords and our community as a whole, that we do what we say we're going to do. We treat people with respect and as true partners in all of those. When we hire new team members, that's kind of how we onboard them, is to say, this is a partnership. We provide X, you provide Y, and this has to work for both of us for us to be successful. So, you know, we kind of have that general approach with all of those relationships. And, you know, really that structure of relationships, as I mentioned before, the spider web, that's really my mom's teaching. Her degree wasn't in business either originally. It was in sociology. And my parents met working for Vista. They worked for Cesar Chavez, working with children of migrant workers. And so that service and that service leadership is very much ingrained into who we are as a family and how we extend ourselves through our business to everybody in there. So I think that really is who we are as a core and what we have passed on from generation to generation and what people that engage with us would most likely say about who we are. So
they can feel at the moment they deal with someone with CASA understanding, okay, oh, that's what they stand for.
I think so. I hope so.
So far, so good. Well, Joy, that's all I have. And once again, I appreciate you taking the time to sit with me on this podcast. So thank you again.
It was an honor. Thank you so much.